Hi, you're now listening to a sermon from Harvest Community Church in Hoffman Estates, Illinois. We're happy to bring you sermons like this one every week. You can find other sermons at our site at harvest-community.org. So without further ado, here's our speaker.
Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me okay? Oh yeah, that's good. All right, well, I want to go over... Well, let me start with this. For the past 3 years, I've had to bring a Father's Day. I've spoken on Father's Day. And I'm not necessarily one of those pastors that feels just because it is a certain day, you have to speak about that. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. So for 3 years, I haven't spoken about Father's Day. But today, the Lord has led me and gave me a word for fathers. So I want to say happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Today, we honor fathers. We honor fathers who have led well and fathers who are still learning. We honor fathers who provided, protected, prayed, persevered. We honor young fathers trying to figure it out one day at a time. We honor grandfathers whose wisdom still steadies generations. We honor spiritual fathers who poured into sons and daughters they did not physically raise but faithfully helped shape. We honor fathers whose seats are filled this morning, and we lovingly remember fathers whose seats now sit empty, but whose lessons, laughter, and sacrifices still echo in our hearts. We also acknowledge those for whom this day is very complicated, those who grew up longing for a father's embrace, those carrying wounds from absent fathers, those who feel they have failed. Today is not about pretending every story is perfect, because earthly fathers may succeed or fail, stay or leave, bless or wound, but our Heavenly Father remains faithful. Whenever God touches a family, he has the power to stop cycles, heal memories, restore dignity, and build a future stronger than the past. I want to open with a story, and then I'll go into the word. The title of the message is Legacy Builders of Faith. Several years ago, a man was cleaning out his late father's garage. There wasn't much left, just some old tools, fishing pole, a few dusty boxes, an outdated wallet, nothing of great financial value. But he did find his father's Bible, a worn-out Bible. And there was a folded piece of paper in the Bible. And he opened it up and he read it. And his father had written, "Son, I wish I could have given you more money. I wish I could have bought you more things. But I prayed every day that you would know Jesus, love your family, and become the kind of man who walks with God." The son sat there holding the note and weeping because in that moment, the son realized the father had left him something far greater. He had left him something far greater than an inheritance. He had left him a spiritual foundation. He had left him convictions, a testimony. He had left him faith. And the older I get, the more I realize the greatest question fathers must answer is not what am I accumulating, but rather what am I transferring? See, houses can be sold. Businesses can close. Retirements can be depleted. Accounts, photographs can fade. Even our voices could eventually become silent. But a faith intentionally placed into the hearts of another generation can continue to speak long after we have entered eternity. Legacy builders of faith. It's not simply building successful lives, but building lives that point generations towards God. Not merely leaving something for our children, but transferring a faith in our children. And so that is exactly what the psalmist understood 100 years before. This thing keeps going down. Hold up, guys. How do I get this back up? Because as I'm stepping on it, as I'm pushing on it, it keeps going down. Yeah, thank you. That's okay. So that's exactly what the psalmist understood. We're coming from Psalms chapter 78, verses 1 through 7. Thank you. Asaph. Asaph was a powerful, powerful man of God. And he understood hundreds of years before modern parenting books, before all of these podcasts, before seminars and conferences, God inspired Asaph to remind his people that every generation has a sacred responsibility to pass on the works, the wonders, and the way of God, and the glorious ways of God to those coming behind them. And so Psalm 78 teaches us that God never intended faith to die with one generation. I travel around sometimes, and in the past, I worked for Awana, and I worked for a few different other nonprofits, and I've seen churches die. One thing I will have to say, I love Harvest, that you are intentionally pouring into to the future generations. I love that. But God never intended for generations to die. Faith was always meant to travel from hearts to homes to children, to grandchildren, and even to generations we never meet. So in Psalm 78, 1 through 7, I'll read through this, and then I'm going to go into 4 points and let you enjoy your Father's Day. He said, "Oh, my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I am saying, for I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past, stories we have heard and known, stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. For he issued his laws to Jacob. He gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children, so the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born. And they in turn will teach their own children. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands." Asaph said the goal was that each generation would put its confidence in God and not forget the works of God. Yet if we're honest, we are living in a crisis of our time. Because we've taught men how to make money, build careers, build brands, lead companies, grow platforms, but few have been taught how to disciple children, how to apologize, how to bless their sons, affirm their daughters, how to love their wives sacrificially, how to pray aloud, how to model repentance, how to build a faith that outlives them. And the family often suffers from what the father never learned. So the question Psalm 78 is asking this morning: did you leave an inheritance? Or did you leave behind a testimony that causes another generation to hope in God? Did your children merely inherit your possessions? Or did they inherit your prayers? Did they inherit your opinions? Or did they inherit your worship? Did they inherit your anxiety? Or did they inherit your trust in God? See, if our children inherit our homes but not our hope, our success but not our Savior, our comfort but not our convictions, then we have left them something, but we have not left them a legacy. So the title of this message is Legacy Builders of Faith. Fathers who understand that the most important thing they will ever build is not something they can live in. It's not something that you can drive or spend, but something that will still be standing in the hearts of your children long after you're gone. So my first point, fathers, we are called to build more than success. If we're honest, many of us grew up being taught that a father's primary assignment was to provide, protect, and produce. We measured fatherhood by paychecks, promotions, possessions, and accomplishments. And those things matter. There is nothing wrong with working hard, providing for your family, building a business, earning degrees, paying off debt, or leaving behind financial security. Those are blessings from God and expressions of stewardship. But Scripture continually reminds us that there is something far more valuable than what a man leaves to his children. It is what he leaves in them. And the world applauds successful men, but heaven celebrates faithful men. The world asks, how much did he accumulate? But God will ask, whom did he disciple? The world measures a father by the size of his portfolio, but God measures a father by the depth of his influence. Because one day cars will rust. The promotions, they'll go to someone else. The house will be sold. The trophies will collect dust. But the prayers you prayed over your children, the scriptures you taught them around the dinner table, the integrity they watched you walk in, the forgiveness they saw you extend, the way you loved their mother, the way you worshiped when life was difficult, those become part of their spiritual DNA. And this is exactly what Asaph is driving toward in Psalm 78. In other words, God never intended fathers merely to raise successful adults. He called fathers to raise worshipers. He called fathers to raise men and women who knew where their help comes from. He called fathers to build a legacy that outlives their obituary. Because success answers the question, what did I accomplish? But legacy answers the question, who will be standing for God because I lived? Some fathers in this room, you may feel discouraged. You may be saying right now, Pastor, I missed some years. I wasn't always perfect. I wasn't always present. I made some mistakes. But can I just let you know the beautiful thing about God's grace is that legacy is not built in a day, but it can begin in a moment. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be a perfect father to become a legacy-building father. You simply must decide that beginning today, your children, your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephews, and those God has placed under your influence will see a man pursuing Christ with sincerity. Fathers, you are not merely called to build careers. You're called to build convictions. Not merely houses, but homes. Not merely an inheritance, but identity. Not merely successful families, but generations of faith. A paycheck feeds a family, but faith feeds generations. A promotion is wonderful. A vacation is wonderful. I mean, beautiful home is wonderful. But if our children inherit comfort and never learn dependence upon God, we have left them assets, but not anchors. Psalm 78 says, teach them. Teach them what? Teach them who God is. Teach them what God has done. Teach them where God brought you from. Some of us are afraid to be vulnerable. Men, we fall into that category so much because we want to be the hero to our families, and we're afraid to show our imperfections. And they raise you not to cry. And they raise you to be hard. And they raise you to be detached emotionally. And we can't be there for our daughters emotionally, for our wives emotionally, because we've been raised not to show emotions. We've been raised to be so hard. The devil is a liar. They need you to teach them what God brought you from. I've sat my son and daughter down and told them every story. And what I've been through. I grew up in the inner city, in the streets. Drugs was all around us, and I've shared that story with my children. I want them to know what God has brought me out of, so that when they go through something, they know the same God can do it for them. But we hold on to our past like it's a secret. Share it with your children. Teach them what he's brought you out of. Teach them how God has sustained you. Teach them how to repent. Teach them how to forgive. Teach them how to worship when life doesn't even make sense. But teaching requires something many fathers struggle to give: availability. Next slide, please. Because children do not feed, they don't need fathers who have all the answers. They need fathers who remain present enough to walk with them while they discover who they are. And perhaps nowhere in scripture do we see this more beautiful than in the father of the prodigal son. See, most sermons, they focus on the son's rebellion. Some focus on the elder brother's resentment. But I want to look at the father, because while one son was running away and another son stayed home physically while drifting emotionally, the father did something to me that was so remarkable. He stayed available. Nowhere in scripture does it tell us that the father chased his son into the far country. It does not tell us that he manipulated him, enabled him, or even tried to control him. It simply portrays a father who remained in a posture of expectation and availability. A father who kept loving. A father who kept hoping. A father who kept watching. And the text says, while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. How do you see somebody from a long way off? Because you've been looking. And can I suggest this morning that this father had developed a habit of standing near the road, probably day after day, month after month, perhaps year after year. People probably were saying, he's never coming back. You failed as a father, move on with your life. But that father kept himself emotionally, spiritually, and relationally available. And Father, that's a word for us today. Availability does not mean you'll never make a mistake, Dad. Availability does not mean your children will always choose wisely, but availability does not mean you'll never experience heartbreak, but it does mean that when they stumble, they know where grace lives. It does mean when they fail, they know where mercy resides. When life bruises them, they know there is still a man praying, believing, and keeping the porch light of faith burning. Some of us grew up with fathers who provided everything except presence. The bills were paid, the house was there, food was on the table, but conversation was scarce. Affection was rare, prayer was absent. And God is saying to you fathers, today, your family needs more than your provision. They need your presence. Your daughter needs to know she can still call. Your son needs to know he can still ask questions. Your grandchildren need to know there is a grandfather whose knees still touch the floor in prayer. Because legacy is not simply built by what we accomplish. Legacy is built by being available long enough for the next generation to experience the heart of the Father through you. Perhaps the greatest testimony your family can ever give about you is not, he made a lot of money. No, not he was successful in business. But no matter where I wandered, I always knew Dad was there. The prodigal son's dad, he never stopped watching, never stopped hoping, never closed the door, never changed his identity as a father. And one day the son looked up, and before he could even reach home, Dad was already running towards him. The father in that story teaches us something powerful. Children may rebel. They may wander. They may disappoint, but fathers who stay available leave room for redemption. Sometimes ministry looks less like preaching and more like sitting on a porch waiting. Sometimes leadership looks less like fixing and more like remaining. Availability often says louder than words, no matter where you've been, there is still a way back home. And when fathers stay available, something supernatural begins to happen. Hearts start changing. Relationships begin healing. Generations reconnect. The beauty of the father in the story of the prodigal son was not simply that he stayed home. It was that he stayed open. He stayed emotionally available. I have a friend. We just had a conversation about his young adult daughter, and he just hardened his heart. She had disappointed him with her choices and her decisions, and he was like, I'm done. And maybe some of you know fathers like that. And I looked at him so confused. How are you done with your child? How? When God is not done with you? How? And we spoke through that, and his heart was hardened. All I could do is pray for him. How are you done with your child when God is not done with you? He stayed emotionally available, the prodigal son's dad. Fathers, we don't have all the answers. And you will make mistakes. But fathers, you gotta know how to leave the porch light on. You gotta know how to keep your hearts tender. Know how to separate rebellion from relationship. Father, your availability, just like the prodigal son story, is such a powerful tool because it becomes a bridge. A bridge over shame. A bridge over regret, a bridge over years of silence, a bridge over poor decisions, a bridge over wounded memories. And church, I believe one of the greatest tragedies of our generation is not merely absent fathers, but it's disconnected hearts and homes where people share an address but not affection, families that sit at the same table but live in separate worlds, children who know what their father provides, but they don't know what their father feels, wives who know their husband's schedule but no longer know what's in his heart. Yet God has always called fathers to do more than manage households. He has called us to build bridges, to be the first to initiate difficult conversations, to extend grace when pride says withdraw, to pursue reconciliation when hurt says retreat, to create pathways where wounded hearts can find their way back to one another. And perhaps that is why the prophetic promise of the Old Testament is so significant. He will turn the hearts of the father to the children and the hearts of the children back to the fathers. God's plan has always been to restore hearts. So fathers, we must be bridge builders who turn hearts, building bridges between pain and healing, between mistakes and restoration, between yesterday and tomorrow. And sometimes building a bridge means apologizing. Sometimes it means making a phone call. Sometimes it's just sending a text. Sometimes it's starting over. Sometimes it's just listening. Pride builds walls, but humility builds bridges. And perhaps someone is thinking, Pastor, my family story is messy. You have no idea what I've gone through. You have no idea what I come from. I didn't have a godly father. I've made mistakes. But if you're honest, many of us did not inherit perfect family stories. You are not alone in that. Some of us have inherited abandonment. Some of us have inherited anger, addiction, inherited generations of men who knew how to work hard but never learned how to express love. Others inherited fathers who might have been physically present but emotionally absent. And for some in this room, Father's Day still carries a measure of grief because your father is gone, your relationship was strained, or perhaps you never had the father you longed for. But here's the good news of the gospel. Jesus did not come merely to forgive our sins. He came to interrupt these destructive cycles. The cross is God's declaration that your family history does not have to become your family destiny. You may have been handed broken pieces, but in Christ you are not condemned to pass that brokenness on to the next generation. The enemy says this is just who your family has always been, but grace says, behold, I am made new. The enemy says, your father was absent, so you'll be absent, but grace says you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The enemy says generations have failed before you. Jesus says if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Church, we honor our history, but we do not have to be imprisoned by it. We can appreciate what was good, grieve what was painful, and learn from what was missing, and by the power of Christ, choose a different path. Legacy is not determined by where you started. Legacy is determined by what you surrender to God. You may not be responsible for the chapter you were born into, but by the grace of God, you can write a different chapter for those who come after you. The gospel is God's declaration that history does not have to become destiny. Abraham failed. Jacob deceived, David stumbled, Peter denied, yet Christ redeemed them all. You may not have inherited faith, but you can initiate faith. You may not have inherited stability, but you can establish stability. You may not have received a blessing, but you can become the blessing. Jesus specializes in rewriting stories. The bloodline may explain you, but it does not define you. Grace gives us permission to begin again. Change to that next slide, please. So men, I told you I wasn't gonna be up here long. I want you to hear me today. You cannot change what's happened over the past 20 years, but you can change today. Call the son, call the daughter, apologize, pray, bless, pursue, listen, show up, because legacy is not built in one grand moment. It's built through thousands of faithful moments. We were never meant to be perfect men. Stop trying to be perfect and be available and be surrendered. Men who love God wholeheartedly, men who let scripture dwell deeply in them, men who disciple through ordinary moments, men who understand that their greatest inheritance is not property, but presence. It's not success, but spiritual legacy. It's not merely fathers, but worshipers. Not merely providers, but priests. Your family does not need a superhero. They need a shepherd. They don't need a flawless father. They need a faithful father. They don't need a man who has never fallen. They need a man who keeps getting back up and keeps seeking God and keeps loving deeply and keeps repenting humbly and keeps praying fervently and keeps walking with Jesus sincerely. Some of you inherited a strong legacy. Thank God for it. Some of you inherited pain. Give it to God. Some of you are carrying regret. Lay it at the feet of Jesus. Every father in this room and every man influencing another life had the opportunity beginning today to become a legacy builder of faith. And as I close, perhaps years from now, when your children tell your story, they won't say dad was rich. They won't say dad was famous. They may not remember every gift you bought them. But by the grace of God, they will be able to say, my father showed me what it looked like to follow Jesus. He wasn't perfect, but he pointed me to a perfect Savior. And because he walked with God, our family learned how to walk with God too. That is a legacy worth building. That is a legacy worth fighting for. And that is a legacy that by the power of Christ can outlive us for generations to come. Let me close in prayer. Father, thank you for every man represented in this room today. Thank you for fathers who stayed, for fathers who sacrificed, for fathers who are still learning, and for fathers who are rebuilding. Heal the wounds where fathers were absent. Restore relationships where hearts have drifted apart. Empower these men to become builders of faith, bridge builders of reconciliation, and examples of your grace. Lord, let their homes become places where your name is honored, where prayer is normal, where repentance is welcomed, and where children and grandchildren learn to place their hope in you. And may generations yet unborn rise up because a man decided to trust Christ, stay available, and build a legacy that would outlive him. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the sermon from Harvest Community Church. If you would like more information or have any questions or comments, check out our website at harvest-community.org. Thanks for listening.